Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are your Bible-believing ministry that is teaching and preaching, reaching the lost souls of the kingdom of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are here Monday to Friday from 11:30 a.m. unto 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come here again this morning, and we are endeavor to praise him even when we are not here. We are praising him and glorifying him. And today we are going to worship and bow down before the Lord. The Lord has granted us this day. Many who were here on last night that thought they would be here today, they are no longer here. But we are here in the land of the living. I just have a little time to put a word out here today because I have to take my granddaughter to her job at 2 o'clock. So we will leave here at 2 o'clock and drop her off. And we will get back here and listen to the message that the Lord has given us. We are going to go into worship now. The Lord has blessed us. We ask his forgiveness, we ask his mercy, and we come with the heart of repentance, knowing that he is able and that he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not just some, but all unrighteousness, in the precious name of Jesus. We thank God for those who earnestly comes on to seek the Lord and hear from the Lord. Hallelujah. We are grateful. Oh, the Lord is blessing us. We are very grateful. Keep in your prayers, in your prayer. There's a great revolution going on in India. People are fighting in the streets with the police and beating up the police and all type of stuff going on. The same thing is happening in Africa. So pray for these places. You know, it's happening in Chicago where the illegal immigrants is taking over Chicago, pushing the African-Americans out. You know what I'm saying? So just pray and keep them all in prayer, because sooner or later, there will be bloodshed in the streets of America, sooner or later. And you will see it, because people, the African Americans, are only going to take so much, and then they're going to retaliate. So let us go in and thank the Lord for the blood that never lost its first at stake, the blood that would heal, deliver, restore, and would keep us safe, in Jesus' holy name. Tomorrow morning, we are not going to come on tomorrow morning. We'll come on tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening or tomorrow night, we'll come on the line and put a word in the atmosphere, because tomorrow morning I have an appointment. So God bless you.
From the far side of God,
Oh, Oh, speak the name of Jesus.
Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you and we praise you, oh God. Thank you for your omnipotent presence, oh God. Thank you for blessing us with ears to hear your voice, oh God. The mouth to speak your word. Oh, Father, we pray today that you will bless us as our hearts are open to you, our ears are attentive to your voice. Oh, mighty God, we ask that you continue to pour into us. Lord, we are hungry and we are thirsty. Thirsty for your word, oh God. Hungry for your word. For the truth, oh God, that heals, the truth that delivers, the truth that, oh God, we restore, oh God. We are asking you, oh God, even right now, to pour into us more than we deserve, oh God. Pour into us, Lord. Pour into us that our cups will overflow. Yes, Lord Jesus. Cause our cups to overflow even right now, Jesus, and we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' holy name. Lord Jesus, oh God, if we come, oh God, with a heart of repentance, and if we come with hearts that are softened and receptive to receive, God, you would give to us the desire of our hearts, oh God. So today we come in the name of Jesus. He says, if we ask anything in his name, you will do, oh God. So, Father, we are not coming with puffed up hearts. We are not coming with an arrogant spirit, like we know it all, or we can do it all, or that we see it all. But we are coming with great expectation as children who loves you and believe in you because you first love us. And you trusted us enough to send your son here on this earth to die, to lay up his life on a cross for us sinners, that we might have right to the tree of life. We are asking you today, dear Father, to forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. We are excited to be here this morning. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made, a day that we have never seen before. And truly, we will never, ever see this day again. And we are grateful because he has given us an opportunity to look into the window of the future. And it looks good. Our future looks good because our future is ordained by Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon coming King. If you're with us this morning, we are grateful that you're here. We do not take your presence on the line lightly. We appreciate your presence. Hallelujah, glory to God. As the Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, that he's in the midst. So we thank you for coming on this morning. And Minister Jones, we thank you for all those posts that you are sending to me, enlightening me of what's going on around us. Hallelujah. We're not going to be too long teaching out of the book of Luke. I got more scriptures, but I don't know if I'll get to them today because I have an assignment this morning. And my assignment is to release this word and then take my granddaughter to her job so she can take care of herself by the things that she needs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This morning, we are going to be teaching on this subject matter. Jesus gave his disciples what they needed to do the job. And if you look and if you hear what I'm saying, he's already given you what you need for you to do the job that he called you to do. He has given his disciples what they need to do the job. What is the job? The job is for them to go forth and carry forth the message of the kingdom. See, the message has to be spoken. The message has to be released. Hallelujah. And there has to be people who are bold enough to speak the truth in love and be not afraid of what the people might say. I was convicted the other day. I was watching a young man on YouTube, and he was coming from a flight from somewhere, some part of the United States. I can't remember the whole thing. But he's an African-American. And while he was sitting on the plane, it seemed like when the plane had landed, he was touched by the Spirit of God because he got up so sudden. And he began to tell the people on the plane, he says, "Excuse me, people, I just want to say something to you." And he began to tell the people who he was and who he is at the present time. And it blew me away. The guy says that he was involved in sodomy. From a young age, one of his family members had raped him, and he taught it, felt good or whatever, and he got into pornography because they were all in the house was watching these pornography with men with men and women with women, all the kind of stuff that was going on. But he says he was hooked up with these transvestites, men that want to be women or acting like women. And he started buying these, you call the pumps or whatever, the high heel shoes, stilettos. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he started buying these tight dresses and young, handsome young men. He said he was only 17 years old when he started changing, thought that he wanted to be a woman because he saw these men acting in a very disrespectful way, I would call it. But he said the unseemly way that they were striving to become women, which they can never be. And he was on the path of that he was going to have this stuff go on to him, his body. He said, but one day, he said, I had an encounter with the Spirit of God. Bless me. Bless me. And he said that the Lord gave him what he needed to become who he is. As a matter of fact, who he was already, because it was in him to really testify for Jesus. He says, I use all kinds of drugs. He says, I sleep with men sometimes, 2 or 3 men at a time. I said, wow, young handsome man. At the point, no, he is somewhere around 20. 19 or 20 is somewhere around there. But he said this thing was going on for a long time. And he says, I don't know all that I need to know. He said, but one thing I know, that I'm not that transvestite or gay person that I used to be. He said, I have a strong love for the gay people. He said, because I know what they're going through. He says, but I'm no longer a gay person. I have been changed. And I'm changing every day. And he quoted a couple of scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5:17. He began to talk. He says, I'm not the old man. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, and I want to tell you all that as you get off this plane and you're going to your own destinations. He says, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you die, you will be going directly to hell. Your spirit will be transferred from where it is to hell. I said, wow. Wow. I was so blessed to hear this young man, and he wasn't afraid to tell him that he used to sleep with men and that his life was heading towards hell. But Jesus touched him and saved him, and Jesus gave him all that he needed to find out. And this is what we're talking about today. We have everything. The apostles got everything from Jesus that they needed to do the work, to fulfill the job. Here in the book of Luke, the Bible says, verse 36, chapter 24, we're just talking. We're not going to talk too long today. The Lord said, I got to get over here at 2 o'clock to take my granddaughter to her job. And then I have to go shopping for some stuff for your job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're going to get this word on here today. Luke chapter 24. You all know the story, but we're going to start at verse 36. The Bible says, thus spake Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a ghost or a spirit. And he said unto them, why art thou troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me or touch me, and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Behold, I said unto you, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus is trying to bring back everything. Not trying, he's bringing back everything, every thought to their memory of all that he has said to them that would happen to him before it happened. Hallelujah. This is why we got to constantly go over and go over the scriptures so we can get a clear understanding of what happened and what's going to happen. Because a lot of stuff is going to happen. A lot of stuff is going to happen. Hallelujah. You look at Chicago, you can't even believe the things that happened in Chicago now. They say over 17 million illegal aliens are in the country right now, over 17 million. They said enough people come from these countries, drug dealers, tyrants, criminals, come from these countries to fill two states of the United States of America. It's not a big. So what do you think will happen in the next 5 to 10 years? I may not be here. You may not. We may not be here. In the next 5 to 10 years, this America is not going to be the same America that you knew. It's changing even right now. Listen, listen. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, this is that thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said he gives them what they need to do the job. He said, and you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. No. Jesus already told them. It is here for us. Why are we trying to fit in when we have the power to stand out? Hallelujah. We are trying to be like the world. We are getting tattoos and piercings and everything that look like the world. It does not resemble the man of God, the woman of God. We are wearing ankle bracelets and nose ring and eyebrow rings and jaw rings and all type of stuff that looks like the world. Matter of fact, it looks satanic. You see some of these preachers with all this stuff all over their face, all over their neck. Their arms, they can't even put on short sleeves because there's so much tattoos and more. Some are going on the altar with their chest open, no tie, but they have two or three buttons released from their shirt so that the people, the women can see their pectoral muscles. Then you have some of the women, not all of them, but some of the women have their dress cut so low you can see their cleavage. Why are they doing this? Some of them have their bras so tight that their breasts are bulged out in their chest. Why are they doing this? Because they want to entice the world. They want to look like the world. But God, he has given us the power. He has given us the boldness. He has given us the incentive. He's given us what we need to do the job, to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim righteousness, to proclaim repentance must be first. This is what he gave to us. He says, and he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. This is what God is saying to us. See, when we know that we are empowered, that we have the power within us, we'll begin to praise him. We'll begin to glorify him. We'll begin to exalt him. We'll begin to testify of all of the works that he has done in us and he's doing in us right now. We get to a place now and we get so puffed up that we don't even want to share our testimony. We seem like if though we got here, and once we got here, everything was all right. We are in the church now. We're in the building, and we have the people coming, and they're giving us accolades. We are pushing our chest out like we are all that, a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, and that God hasn't done anything for us. We haven't been through any storms. We haven't
faced any tornadoes, any earthquakes. We haven't had any tribulations in our walk before Christ. So now we make people now afraid to come in the church and testify what God has done for them because we look so holy and so pious. Good to be holy. But remember that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and you no longer love your life unto death. Because it's not no longer your life, but it's Christ who lives in you, who saved you and I. So we have to testify of this power, the Spirit, the one that's lived in us now. But Jesus told him, he says, wait in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power. The power coming. I'm giving you what you need, but you can't get what you need until I leave. Listen to what he says. Here in this text, the Bible says Jesus appeared to the entire gathering of his followers. He wanted them to know, he wanted them to know that he had risen from the dead. Just like he said that he would, because he wanted to give them the boldness. He wanted them to know that they're not serving a dead king. Hallelujah, that he is risen. They're not their master no longer in the grave. He no longer in the tomb. Hallelujah. Like Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or one of those deities, he's no longer in the tomb. So he showed up to all of them, told them to look at my hands and my feet. Jesus appears to his crucifixion wounds as evidence of his humanity and resurrected form. I'm no longer in the grave. Can you testify you're no longer at the liquor store? You no longer have to go to the liquor store. You no longer have to go to the peep show or happy hour any longer. Why? Because you have been risen from that. God has taken you high above your vices. You're no longer in bondage to the things that held you captive any longer. Listen to what he says. He said he ate in front of them additional proof that Jesus is not merely a spirit, but is alive in full human form. He had to let them see that the same one went down. He come up. So he could say, look, now he's going to be taken up from them. But he had to come back in the human form and let them see what I told you is the truth. It wasn't a figment of my imagination. It's the truth. You have people today, learned people, educated people, with all types of degrees in government officials. And you have people that have big businesses, technological businesses, and they don't believe that Jesus crucified and buried and rose again from the dead. Jesus says there's no doubt. There's no reason to doubt, and there's no reason to fear. It is I. Look at my hands. Look at my feet and see the prince. You know doubting Thomas. He had to show up in the midst at one point while the disciples were in the room. Thomas was doubting. Unless I see the nail prints in the hole in the side, I will not believe in Jesus. He said, look, here I am, Thomas. Put your hand in. Put your finger in the hole. Listen. He said, look at my hands and my feet. Evidence that he is the resurrected Savior. He ate with them. A spirit cannot eat. A ghost cannot eat. That was additional proof that Jesus is not merely a spirit, but is alive in full human form. Luke closes his gospel with Jesus commissioning his disciple and ascending into heaven. This scripture is in Matthew and Mark. It's not in John. But he gave them the commission, what they must do. And not only that, he told him that you're going to get the power to do what you need to do, what I need you to do. I'm going to give you what you need to do the job. But I got to leave here first. And when I leave here, it's going to come, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke adds an additional details about Jesus commands to his disciples before his ascension in his second book, the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Here we will see Luke speaking about Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. To whom also you showed yourself alive after his, he showed himself alive after his passion by meaning infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you shall have heard of me. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and not many days hence. He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. Said the Father, going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. You're not supposed to know that. All you're supposed to do is do what I told you to do, what I commission you to do. Go show the kingdom. Go talk about repentance. Go talk about my death on the cross. Go talk about my burial. Go talk about my resurrection. Go talk about my ascension. Go talk about these things. Don't worry about what the Father going to do. That's not your concern. People are sitting around worrying about when Jesus is going to come, how he's going to judge the world. You don't got to do that. Your plan, your assignment is to share the kingdom. Talk about repentance. Get people to repent of their sins, of the way they're living, and get them to turn to Jesus and allow Jesus to transform them by his spirit. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Listen, listen, listen. We don't have to keep looking at the clouds. When he come, all men will see and know. All will see and know that he is Lord of Lords, that he is King of Kings. Hallelujah. What we need to do right now, you and I, all we need to do is share the gospel. Share the gospel. Listen to what he says. Luke 24 and 45. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, a supernatural enablement to comprehend the significance of Jesus' statements. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Verse 31, we're back up in the text.
Jesus says. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. See, when this anointing come upon you, the anointing of knowledge, the anointing of understanding, the anointing of obedience, the anointing, oh God, that he is Lord, come upon you, your eyes open. Your spiritual eyes open. See, a lot of people, I hear pastors said some years ago, people got eyes and can't see, got ears and can't hear. Hallelujah. Well, they can look and look, but they don't see anything. Hallelujah. You'll be saying, do you see that? They can't see what you see. They can't hear what you hear. Why? Because their spiritual eyes are closed off. Lest they see with their eyes and understand. Their ears are closed. Lest they hear and understand and perceive and be changed, be healed, delivered. No, he says, Luke account of the Great Commission emphasizes that the disciples will act as Jesus' witnesses. This commission is repeated in Acts chapter 1 and 8. We just read the scripture. We have to carry out the gospel. We have to be his witnesses here in this earth realm. We are looking for everybody else to testify. Matter of fact, we are looking, more looking to get a pat on our back from other believers or unbelievers than we are looking to get the anointing that comes from Jesus to do the work. We are not pressing on into Jesus to get a greater understanding of who he is. Because the closer you get, closer we get to him, the greater understanding we're going to have of who he is. We ought to be pressing in. He says, in reference, what was promised by my Father is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Until you be endowed with power. Hallelujah. He told him in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, but wait, you in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endowed with power from on high. See, a lot of times we don't want to wait. We want what we want, and we want it now. We live in a microwave age where we want to have whatever we need or want right now. We can't wait on God. That's why you find people and you find a lot of leaders slipping and dipping. You know why? Because they don't have the patience to wait on God. If God says he's going to bless you, he's going to take care of you, he's going to heal you, guarantee he's going to heal you, he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. You just got to be patient. Because he's not working on our time. He's working on his time. And his time is on time. You understand what I'm saying? God's time is on time. He's never late. You can't read any place in the Bible, study any place in the Bible where it says God was late. He's never late. He's an on-time God. And when he promised you that he's going to do something for you, you can sign your name next to his name because it's going to come to pass. Not on your time, on his time. That's why you got to wait. David said, wait on the Lord. I said, wait. Wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to wait. No, he says, Acts chapter 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. I told you that the Father going to send you what you need to do. This is what he's saying to the disciples. Glory to God. How much has he spoken to us? Chapter 2 of Acts says, verses, you can read that, 1 to 21. Hallelujah. It's a lot of work right here. The bend of power, when you wait and the power come upon you, you are being transformed. You're being equipped to do what needs to be done. He told them to wait. And as they waited, the power came upon them. Do you hear me?
The power came upon them while they were in Jerusalem waiting. They were in the upper room, and the power fell upon each and every one of them. Why? Because they were obedient, Jesus said. You know, we want to wait there. He says, oh, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you at such a day. And we get excited, but God going to bless me on such a day. I can't wait for the blessing to come. He says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Did you hear that? Why are we not seeing the power? Why are we not hearing the sound? You know why? Because it's very difficult for us today to come on one accord. We may be on one accord for 1 minute, and then we go into our own feelings and our own emotions. We say, well, nobody is looking at me. Nobody is patting me on my back. People are talking about me. People are questioning my way. Why, how do I do things? You should do things this way. People are gonna come up with all types of stuff, when the only way you should be doing things is the way God has commissioned you to do it. Not the way the congregation wants you to do it. Not where the way your ministers, your deacons, your elders, your ushers want you to do it. But the way God has commissioned you to do it. Not even the way your husband told you to do it. Not even the way your wife wants you to do it. But the way God tells you, commissioned you to do it. And they can't stay with you, because they want to tell God how to tell you how to do it. He says, listen, and they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now it rests upon them. It was like fire, but it wasn't fire. Hallelujah. It sounded like wind, but it wasn't wind. I want you to understand this. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when there was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were concaused that every man heard them speak in his own town. See, when the power come upon you, folk would hear their own town. I remember in Virginia, I was at the church, and the Holy Spirit had filled the room, filled the house where we were worshiping. And with Love International, no, at that time it was Alexandria Christian Center, because he changed the name after a few years. It was Alexandria Christian Center. And we were worshiping and praising God. And I want to tell you that I begin to speak in a different town. Excuse me. I didn't know, but it was this other guy that we had a running in the church. He was an elder in the church, and I was an elder. And I was speaking in towns, praying in towns. And he says, Brother Dave, I could understand everything you're saying. So I looked, I said, well, he says, you're speaking in Guyanese. In other words, he's from Ghana, and he could hear me speaking in his native language. I didn't know. These people didn't know. They're preaching, they were praying in all these different nation towns, and people could hear their own native language because the Holy Spirit had entered them, not only fell upon them, but into them, not only rested upon them, but no, he was in them. And that because he was in them, it began to manifest in the presence of all the people that were standing by, listening and hearing. He said, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They are from Galilee. How come they're speaking in our own towns? He said, and how hear we every man in our own town wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our towns and the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? See, when God began to use you, when God began to use us in such a majestic way to glorify him, people are going to be in doubt. Sunday we were preaching in the church building in Boston. And this man, contractor man, he's walking up the street, very handsome man. And I was preaching. And I was talking about staying connected to Jesus. There's no way you can make it on your own, because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The branch has to stay connected to the vine. And the man, and I was still preaching, not paying him a mind, I'm moving back and forth on the altar. And the next thing you know, he came in and sat in the church. When he sat there till I finished, till the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, well, that's what all I need them to hear today. And the man come to the altar. He says, are you the pastor of the house now? And I begin to talk with him. He says, I want to give an offering. He says, I really receive what you were saying. He says, I'll be back next Sunday. See, when the Holy Spirit come and touch you and begin to indwell in you and begin to move around to you, he said, people will hear the voice of God, not your voice. Not your voice, but the voice of God. And they will gravitate to him. They will draw to him because he has to draw them. But we have to be available for him to use us, through us. The Bible said the people was amazed. They were excited and were also in doubt, saying one to another, what mean is this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. See, there are always going to be some people in the midst. There are always going to be some people in the midst that are going to be critical. Just like on Blog Talk Radio. You have folk that used to be here. Many folk would come, and all they come to do is to critique. That's all they hear, what you don't say. What you're not saying is what they hear, and they take notes, and they hold it as a memorandum for any time you make a mistake to put it in your face. This is what you said 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 1 week ago, 1 day ago, 1 hour ago. They're not coming to hear from God. They're coming to critique you. What kind of man of God are you? What kind of woman of God are you? There's many people like that. Even in your building, in your church building, there's folk in there that they come to critique. This is why most of them miss what God is saying and they miss what God is doing. These folk, this is what it is. It's in this text. The Bible says, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt. Amazed and in doubt at the same time. Saying one to another, what means this? Why is this happening? What's going on that we can hear these people speaking in our own language, in our own town? But others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Do you hear me? They can't see the move of God. They cannot understand what's going on. Because they're looking in the natural, not in the spirit. Many things are going to happen in our nation very fast, quick. In this beautiful country that we love, going to happen fast. Because now, as you know, if you watch or if you hear, if you listen, there's a lot of people, rich folk, actors and actresses and entertainers that are mocking the Savior on television live. They're not telling you about all these people. I posted on Facebook the other day how many entertainers and movie stars and some preachers going to die. Sudden death. It's going to happen fast. But they're not going to realize that it's the wrath of God, because God is only going to allow them to say so much and make so much fun of him. Young woman just died, 25, 25 or 27 years old. Actress, they're mocking God in California, in Hollywood. Out of 25 or 27 years old, just died. Young man, he went home to, he's an actor, went home to be with his parents in California and just dropped down dead. They're mocking God. And the world can't, they're not seeing what's happening, but it's going to get to a larger scale that they're going to begin to see the blood in the streets. Because God's going to let them know, they're going to know that he's God all by himself. You don't need nobody to say he's God. He's all God, all by himself. But what he needs is he needs his preachers and needs his teachers. He needs his church to stand up and be the church and stop playing like patty cake with the word, watering down the word. Listen to what he says. But Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Listen, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, when you fill with the power of and authority of God, he gave them power and authority back in the book of Luke chapter 9, 1 and 2. When you fill with the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll speak like this. Listen to Peter. This is boldness. He prayed for this boldness. But Peter standing up with the 11, that makes his 12 apostles, because Judas had died, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you. And hearken, listen to my words, he said. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter began to declare to them, what you're seeing is what the prophet has already prophesied that would come to pass in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. John chapter 14 and 26. You got to understand that this bold apostle is speaking the truth, because he wanted them to let him know that it's not the apostles, but it's God. It is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is God that's doing this marvelous work through the apostles. Listen, let's go a little further. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is what Joel says. Hallelujah. And all my servants, and my handmaidens pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is what the prophet had prophesied hundreds of years before this supernatural anointing fell upon and in the apostles. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor. Yeah, there's somebody sent some picture, put some picture from somewhere over in Bolivia or somewhere, France or somewhere. And it looked like three people sitting in the clouds. The clouds are forming all these different figures. To let you know that the time is drawing near. We need to become bold, bold as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We got to become bold, ready to declare the truth in love. He says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Talking about before the Lord return. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, we got to preach this thing that folk have to call on his name. They have to call on his name with a spirit of repentance. Hallelujah. Ready and willing to accept him as Lord and Savior. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I said earlier in this message, we are not going to come on tomorrow morning. I have an appointment tomorrow morning. We'll come on tomorrow night. Even if it's myself, me alone, we'll come on tomorrow night. Let us go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Glory to God. We're talking about Jesus gave his disciples what they needed to do the job. Acts chapter 8. It says, verse 1, excuse me, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The devout men carried and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. See, even though that they were being attacked from every side, persecuted, they were still preaching. They were still preaching. We are being attacked. We are being persecuted by this world system, by the government. We can't stop preaching. We got to preach the truth. We can't preach about people. We got to preach about what Jesus done on the cross for our salvation, how he died. He was crucified. He was pierced. He was crowned. He was nailed. He was whipped. Fired upon. He was slapped. He was kicked for our salvation. He died there on that cross with two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. He was buried, but he rose on the third day for our salvation. All we got to do is call upon him with the spirit of repentance, meaning ready to turn away from your sin, ready to let go and let God. The Bible says, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Hallelujah. Let's jump over to verse 14 from where we are. Same book. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Peter and John were sent to them. They received Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. But they have not received the Holy Ghost, the power, the indwelling power of God. We need, all of us need the indwelling power of God so we can do the job. A lot of us are not able to do the job. That's why there's so much confusion in the church. Because folk do not want. I was preaching here in the church over here in Massachusetts, in Quincy, and this years ago, and this was Assembly of God Church, predominantly Caucasian, maybe 4 or 5 African Americans. But I was moving through the crowd and prophesying and doing what thus says the Lord. And I got before this man, and he says, I don't need that. Because people were receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm beginning to speak in tongues. He said, I don't need that. I'm all right. Hallelujah. But the Bible says you must be filled Jesus told them, wait in Jerusalem until they be endowed with power so they can be a witness for him wherever they go. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost part of the world, wherever they go, there will be witnesses. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, give you the boldness to preach the truth, not to compromise. When you fill with the Holy Ghost, I mean truly fill, you don't compromise. You got preachers now that know how to preach, but guess what they're doing? They're compromising. What are you saying, Pastor? They don't have the Holy Ghost? I said years ago they have the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost. They have the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost. That's why they can preach so well and then compromise. Go and preach in a homosexual church and says, all right. It's all right. You're not preaching a repentance to them, but you're in agreement with their sin. And you call yourself a prolific preacher. Listen what the apostle is saying. He says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. In other words, none of them was filled. None of them experienced the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. They received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they need the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. So the men of God were sent down. These men that were filled, they were overflowing Peter and John. Hallelujah. You remember at the gate called Beautiful, when they were going to pray at the hour of prayer, and a man was laying at the gate, crippled, looking to receive alms from them. And what Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such have I given thee. Look upon us, look. And when the man looked, Peter said, rise up and walk. And Peter took him by his right hand. The Bible said he received power in his ankle, in his joints, and he began walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. When you fill with the Holy Ghost, you speak Holy Ghost language, power and authority in Jesus' name. Oh, listen to what he says. Oh, God, I'm getting ready to done finish here. Yeah, we almost there. He said, I go have more scripture, but we got to get here. They received the Holy Ghost. They received Jesus. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, Peter and John. And when Peter and John laid hands on them, on the people, and when Simon saw, listen, when Simon saw the true laying on of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, or he offered them money. We don't want to bring in that right now, but because we this is not what the Lord gave us to put in there. But there's some folk, we can touch that a little bit. There's some folk that don't think that they can come and give the pastor this and give the pastor that and buy the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is not for sale. He's not for sale. Go to Luke chapter 9. You know these scriptures. These are not new to you all. All of us on there has heard these scriptures before. That this is what the Holy Spirit gave us on Monday. And we couldn't do it on Tuesday because we had to go. He says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see, if you know that you have the power, if he's dwelling on the inside, do you have the faith to lay hands in the name of Jesus and see people recover? Or you just have the power to walk around and push your chest up and say, I'm the bishop, I'm the evangelist, I'm the prophet, I'm the apostle, I'm the pastor, the teacher. Just got the power to push your chest. No, I told people, they say, you're the pastor of the house? No, I'm just the servant. Because people want to push their chest up looking for accolades. Just a servant. Doing what God called me to do. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best teacher. But I'm one that doing his best to live the way God called him to live. That's my testimony. I'm doing my best to live the way God called me to live. Go to John chapter 15. We are talking today, subject matter, Jesus gave his disciples what they needed to do the job. Do you know that you have what you need to do the job, or are you still waiting to get what you need? You won't be in a position if you didn't have what you need. Now activate it. Activate what you have so people can receive what God has given you for them. Be bold. John chapter 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now look what Jesus, the disciples, he's speaking to the disciples. He says that pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in the law. They hated me before the cause. Do you know that folk are going to hate you without a cause? You're not going to have to do anything to make them hate you. They're just going to hate you. Why? Because of who you are and whose you are. They did it to Jesus. He's the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. I was reading last night about the man that was at the pool for 38 long years. I was reading that, studying that last night. And I know the scripture, I can do it from my heart, word for word. But I just saw so much in that last night that blessed me. But he says, but when the Comforter is come, and this is what jumped off the page to me last night. He says, in this sermon, he said, whom I, Jesus, will send unto you from the Father. The Father is not sending him. Jesus is sending the Holy Ghost from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father. He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit is only going to speak what he hears from Jesus. He's coming from the Father, but Jesus is sending him. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 and verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, listen to this, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You better be get ready. And see, if the Holy Ghost is in you, you can preach against sin. Sin convicts people. It brings judgment to them, to their spirit. That's why they don't love you, and they don't want to hear about Jesus. Because the Spirit of Jesus convicts your heart. Hallelujah. As you hear the word of God, it convicts you, even if you don't know him. That's why they don't come and say, I don't want to hear that preacher. I want to be around that preacher. Why? Because the preacher's preaching truth. Let's go somewhere else again. Oh, God, I thank you. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians. And see the scripture. Colossians. My God. Read in King James. King James. Hallelujah, Jesus. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. And let us hear the truth from heaven. And draw us closer to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, we are almost finished. Chapter 1. Let's
look at verse, start at verse, let's start at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, hallelujah, the reverence, that he is God. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, in Jesus. Now talking about the fullness of the Godhead. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. See, one time when he had a mind to serve God, we didn't want to be with God. We didn't even want to hear of God. We were doing what we were doing that pleased our flesh, the desire of our flesh. He said, and you that were sometimes alienated, far from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. God called us out. He brought us out of that darkness of sin into his marvelous light, in the body of his flesh through death. This is what happened by the death that he suffered on the cross, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He says, you got to stay in this thing. Hallelujah. You have been washed in the blood. You have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now it's time for you to walk according to the power and love of Jesus Christ. He says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church. Paul is going through all types of suffering. Now, you know, he persecuted the church. We read that earlier. But now he is suffering for the church's sake. We have to be willing and ready to suffer for the church's sake, to do what thus says the Lord without complaining. People are going to say stuff about you, do stuff to you. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to lose loved ones. But you have to stay strong. Hallelujah. You got to be in a place where when people say stuff about you, it doesn't bother you because you know it's not true. Because you're living this life of righteousness, holiness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, is made known to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery upon the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Where whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, when you have the boldness, when the power of God is in you, when the Spirit of God is in you, which is the power of God, you will labor. You will labor earnestly. And the mighty works of God will manifest in your ministry.
Oh, Father. Thank you, oh, Father. Thank you, oh, Father, for this word that you have given us today. You have blessed us, and we greatly appreciate the blessing. Oh, God, we ask now that there are so many out there today, Lord, that are going through. I looked at Pastor Guru Semya video from India, and I look and see the people in the street fighting with the police. I mean, fighting with the police. They got big sticks, 6'4", 4 or 5 feet. I haven't seen that like that yet. The people in the street with sticks and pipes beating the police in the street because it has become so hard, so difficult for people to get food, to get jobs, all this stuff. And they're taking it out on the policemen. He says, Apostle, please pray for India. And I was praying for them. And I put it on Facebook for people that know how to pray. Pray for India. Pray for the preachers. Churches are being attacked. And pastors are being abused in India. Africa, there's a coup going on in Nigeria. The soldiers are taking up arms and putting the president out of his office. Removed them. So there's a lot of stuff going on all over the world. There's always something to pray about while we're sitting around here trying to fight with one another. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. And thank you for this word that you have given us today. And we deliver it as you said to deliver it, O God, so that maybe someone heard the word and someone having a desire even right now. You said it, iron sharpened iron. Someone have a desire to be closer to you, Lord. Because your Spirit has touched them today to draw closer. Clearly that no one can come except you draw them. You said, Lord Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except by you. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and 23, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some. Not a part, but all, everyone that walking upon this earth have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's talking about if you continue in sin, that not only that you will die a physical death, but you will also die a spiritual death if you continue in sin and you don't repent and turn to Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, a lot of people are teaching and preaching the gospel, and they're pushing up their chest like they got it together. But all of us have this thing in us that need to be worked out of us. And if you are coming to Christ for the first time, or if that you are to a place that you know that you have backslidden, you need to rededicate your life. And if you're coming for the first time, you need to let go of your past. You need to put your past under your feet or under Jesus' feet. You need to cast it down. Let it go and let God. In other words, you need to repent and acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is the only one that can save your soul. Not your pastor, not your bishop, not your apostle, not the prophet, not the evangelist, and not the teacher. And sure, not me. I can pray with you for you to give your life to Christ and then instruct you what you got to do to continue walking in him. Because it's not just praying today and think you're going to heaven tomorrow. You have to start living the life to go to heaven.
You'll hear me say from time to time, you have to live again. Hallelujah. You have to live a life so you can live again. Hallelujah. The Bible says you must accept Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must believe on the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. You have the people that's watching Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and Oprah Winfrey, and they're all on TV. These are multimillionaires, you know, and they're talking and mocking things about God and about the gospel. And I'm looking at them, you know, because they think that they're millionaires, she's a billionaire, that this stuff, this money and the gold and all the stuff that they have going to protect them from the wrath of God. If they don't repent, and you are a preacher, Joel Osteen, and you say you don't have to tell people about their sinful lifestyle. You don't have to tell them that they have to repent for their sin. You don't have to tell them that they need to stop sinning. You tell them that as long as they keep coming to the church, it's all right. It's all right. God knows your mind. God knows your thoughts. But that's not what the Bible says. Peter says, now I say unto you, repent every one of you and be baptized. This is what Peter says. He says, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say you just come to the altar and do what you like, and that's all right. Give your offering, you're fine. You have to stop sinning. Glory to God. Peter says to them, another 38 that he says there, Acts chapter 5 and 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. See, you have to separate yourself. And what happens is that people are going to come against you once you start to walk this walk. But if your work is good, it's going to stand. If it's not good, it's going to fall. Hallelujah, glory to God. But you have walked this walk. Don't just talk it. Live it out. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to hinder you from doing what this says the Lord. But Jesus is empowering us, and he will empower you so that you can walk the walk. You can live it out. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is very powerful. He's not talking about the buildings and the trees and all these high rises. He's talking about the world, you, the world. We are the world. Let's sing that song. We are the world. Understand who you are. He said, if you call upon him, he will answer you. Will you call upon him today so he can show you the things that you need to know that you don't know, so you can live a life that brings glory to his name? Well, if you don't know him today, call upon him in repentance. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I heard the preacher say that. You're the only one that can save me. You're the only one that can set me free. You're the only one that can give me the right to the tree of life. I want to be able to come and eat from the tree of life. I want to be able to come and drink from the fountain. But the way I'm living, I know I can't do that. So I'm coming to you with a heart of repentance, asking your forgiveness and asking your mercy. Jesus, I repent now for the way I've been living my life. I've been living contrary to your commands. I've been doing whatever pleased my flesh. So today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus, with great expectations in my heart. I no longer want to live my life in sin, Jesus. So I'm asking you to wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Heal me and I'll be healed. Save me and I'll be saved. And I will praise you all the days of my life. If you just said that uncommon prayer that I believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus had just given to me by his Spirit, if you believe it in your heart, that which you confess with your mouth, you just receive the gift of salvation. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, which says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Receive Jesus now as your Lord and Savior. My recommendation is for you to get a Bible of your choice. There's many good Bibles out there. They're all good. You know, different versions out there. Amplified, NLT, the NIV, the American Standard, New King James, Old King James. There are so many out there. The Logos Bible. There's so many Bibles you can pick from a multitude of versions out there. And there's newer ones coming. It's in this body, the name of this, that. But get one that you tend to be able to study comfortably. And ask the Holy Spirit to impart wisdom, knowledge into your mind so that you get to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. That's the word from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or you can start from Genesis to Revelation. But start somewhere so that you begin to get an understanding. I understand who this Jesus is that we teach and preach about, his apostles that lay down the foundations for us to follow. And then I want you to call a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that knows how to baptize in Jesus' name. Why we say that every chance we get? Because everybody, every preacher are not baptizing in Jesus' name. Some are baptizing Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Some are baptizing either way. Even some are not even baptizing. They're sprinkling you. So if you go to a place that they're pouring the water on your head or sprinkling water with their fingers, that's not baptism. That is sprinkling. Okay? That's pouring the water on your head. Baptism means that you must be completely submerged in the water from head to toe, chest to back. Everything got to go down the water. You want to be in a church or a body of believers where they're baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, you want to call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies and tell them, say, look, I'm getting baptized. I received Jesus as my Lord, but I need to put this all together because the Bible declares that baptism is part of salvation. Can't get away from it. Can't hide from it. That's the final part, that you're making an open proclamation or declaration that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. So the people there, you invite people, call. I like to say it's the best day of your life, where you're now walking into the newness of who you are. You're declaring and decreeing to the people that's at the baptism that you have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah. And once you go down that water, we call it the liquid grave, you are saying, I'm leaving all the things that hold me in bondage and captivity in this liquid grave. So I'm going down filthy in this water, but I'm coming up clean in Jesus' name, in the righteousness of who he is. Hallelujah, glory to God. No longer the old man coming up with that water, but it's a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old man is in water, but the new man is stepping out that grave and stepping up with Jesus Christ. Now as you get out here, find a church teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved. Get yourself involved in ministry. Be a part of what God is doing in this earth, in the world. Hallelujah. In his church. Not the building. In the body of believers. That's the church. And you want to get yourself involved and get yourself connected. Don't get no click, but get yourself connected with some brothers and sisters that really hungry, that's going after God like it's their last day on earth. Don't get with the ones that just puffed up and all, you know, just got the word but don't have the spirit, don't have the power. Got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Get with the believers that will help you to grow deeper and stronger in Christ Jesus. And your life will never be the same. I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials and tribulations, because you will. I still have trials and tribulations. I still have people that come against me, even today. But I know who is for me. And my word told me that if God be for me, who can be against me? You understand? So get the people that would encourage you to live life, or people that would encourage you to do that. And I wish you.
All right.
And I pray for you today. So I am finished. Thank God for all those that receive salvation today and those who receive at a later date. I am finished. Anyone that want to put in 2 pennies with my pennies, then we'll have 4 pennies. It's fine. The line is open. But I'm finished. God bless you all. Well, no one has a word they want to share, encourage, or help. We are going to pray and close out. And we will see you all on tomorrow night. I will be back here, not tomorrow morning, because I have an appointment in the morning. Got to take care of that. And we will be coming on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We'll come on tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. We'll come on. God bless you all. Father, we thank you and praise you all. Praise you, O God, for this word that you've given us. Thank you for those that you allow to come onto the line today to hear this mighty word that you have poured into me, O God, by your Spirit. Pray, Father God, for those that are listening near and far, that, O God, that you would pour into them. Lord God, we lift up the airways, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And, Father, we ask you to heal today, deliver today, restore today. Bring healing to your people today. Father, we pray for India. And we pray for Pastor Goodish, who is over there in India. And Lord, we ask for his protection. We pray for his protection, for his wife, for his children, and for the ministry. Lord, we know that there's so much going on, that the enemy is busy. Lord, we ask that, God, you protect the church. Lord, bless us with more jobs so that we can bless them, O God. Bless us with jobs. Give us more jobs, O God, so we can bless them, O God. And, Father, we'll be so careful as we get the blessings to bless them. Lord, we ask you to protect the police officers that are being abused in the streets there in India. And protect the people, too, Lord God, because it's a two-way thing. We ask, God, for all nations here, United States of America, that you protect the president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators, the police department, the fire department. And God, we ask you to touch our teachers that are getting ready to go back into school to teach our children and the children themselves. God, protect them. Oh, God, we're praying for protection over our children and over our families. We ask, God, that as we leave this line this day, that you continue to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. We ask you, God, to continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Father, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And, O God, even as we leave this land, but never your presence, we are continue to praise you and glorify you, exalt you and magnify your name, O God, because only you, O God, is worthy to be magnified. Only you are worthy to be lifted up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are praying today. Oh, God, bless those that come to be with us. Bless Brother Deacon Fraser, Pastor Stewart, Minister Jones, and, oh, God, Evangelist Campbell and Baxter, and all those that come on here from time to time. Bless them, oh, God, and bless those that even leave the line. Bless them that leave the line and protect them. Shield them, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, who come against us without a cause. Bless them, oh, God, and keep them safe. Protect them from the attacks of the enemy, every satanic trick and every satanic agenda. Protect them, oh, God. We are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask for blessings in the city, blessings in the field, blessings when we come, and blessings when we go. We ask, oh, God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, God, we pray even right now that as we leave this line, oh, God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, that the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us, and that surely goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, safe day. Stay strong. Remember that we will be coming on tomorrow morning, but we'll come on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye.